This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. This month in Newtown, Connecticut, a task force, after talking with architects and other design experts, is delivering its plan for what to do with the Sandy Hook Elementary School. We asked Studio 360's Eric Malinsky to explore how places like Sandy Hook have been transformed and rebuilt in the past.
Pamela Bass used to live in a tough neighborhood in Milwaukee.
People were hanging out on the street corners, you know, a lot of drugs, and somebody got shot almost every day.
So it was important to find someone that you trusted. She liked her neighbor across the hall, a quiet, polite guy named Jeff.
We would have a beer together, and he'd come to my house, or I'd go to his house.
One night in the summer of 1991, she heard a scuffle outside her door.
And I came out of my apartment asking him, you know, what's going on? Is somebody trying to do something to you? You want me to call the police or something like that?
But this was the police.
They had asked me, did I look in any of these pots? And I had said, well, he was cooking something in these pots. What are you guys doing? And they said, these are body parts.
Jeff's last name was Dahmer. The apartment building was sold to a Jesuit university that pressured the tenants to leave so they could tear it down. Out of respect for the families, the university, and eventually the city, promised to never build anything on that site again. But the empty lot feels haunted.
You know, there's no people on the street over there. The places have never been really rented out, and it is so desolate now.
What do you do with a building after it's linked to a horrific tragedy or pure evil? I mean, you have a few options. You can make it vanish. You could turn it into a living memorial, or you could pretend like nothing happened. In 2007, a lot of people at Virginia Tech said they would never step into Norris Hall again after a mass shooting there. Larry Hinker is the university spokesperson.
Oh yeah, we had heard noise from individuals that said the building needs to go, we need to tear it down.
But tearing down Norris Hall would have been unfeasible.
You could not take a almost 70,000 square foot building with many, many offices, many sophisticated, one-of-a-kind laboratories. You couldn't take a $40 to a $50 million resource offline like that.
A school committee decided there would never be classes at Norris Hall again, just offices and labs. And it became the site of a new Center for Peace Studies and Violence Prevention. The inside of the building was completely renovated.
It was a very typical 1960s era building with 9 by 9 inch tile floors and painted cinder block walls. So the architects intentionally decided to put a softer edge on it, and now you'll see faux archways. There's a wood floor.
The walls are curved, painted with earth tone colors.
The entryway to the Center for Peace Studies and Violence Prevention is frosted glass. It's really a very inviting and warm space.
But to really get a sense of how a site linked with tragedy could be transformed, I had to visit Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado. The students laughing in these halls were babies when their school became synonymous with mass murder.
If you were just joining us, two young men apparently dressed in long black trench coats opened fire.
6 to 8 outside. We don't know who's injured inside yet.
It has been a horror.
Back in the spring of 1999, Principal Frank DeAngelis and parents of the victims formed a committee called HOPE to decide what to do with the building. Unlike Virginia Tech, the Columbine parents wanted the kids to return to the classrooms.
We didn't want the two murderers to win because they stated in their videos that they would haunt us the rest of their lives.
So the group hired an architect named J.D. Nelson. The school needed a brand new library, but he says the hard part wasn't replacing damaged rooms. It was overcoming bad memories.
The image of one of the students climbing out the window, trying to get away from the shooters, and now this image is stuck in everybody's head. One of the questions they asked was, how can we change the look of the exterior of the building? And we said, well, you know, there was something cut out of the initial design when we did the initial remodel.
A few years before the shooting, Nelson was hired to remodel the school. Back then, he had proposed these thin awnings that would shade the outside of the building.
They looked at them and thought, well, that's a whole lot better than just changing the color of the glass.
It was almost like they were trying to trick themselves into thinking the tragedy happened at a slightly different high school. Again, here's Principal DeAngelis.
I can remember spending probably 2.5 hours one day with a company trying to figure out what the sound for the fire alarms were going to be, because we couldn't have anything similar to what the kids had heard that day.
Another difficult issue was what to do with the exact spots where the children were killed. Some parents didn't want anyone ever walking over those tiles or patches of dirt again.
We even expanded office areas so that area would never be stepped upon. It would be considered hollow ground for the parents.
But some parents felt differently. On the spot where Rachel Scott was killed, there's a butterfly pattern on the hallway floor.
Because that was something that was in Rachel's journal.
Most of the students died in the library, which was directly above the cafeteria. So the library was completely gutted.
It was in the spring of 2000 that we decided the plan was going to be is cut out the floor. And so now you had this open look from the cafeteria all the way up to ceiling.
Which left the architect with a room full of empty space above the cafeteria.
I don't know what they were imagining at the time. You know, what they were imagining at the time was simply getting rid of something that was very ugly to them and wanted to take their anger out on the building.
But J.D. Nelson had an idea. He suspended geometric sculptures across the ceiling to represent the 13 that were killed. And some of those shapes are painted with clouds.
Dawn Anna had a great, she was one of the parents of one of the students that was killed. She had a great statement that when she walked into the place, she says, you know, we were afraid that people would walk in there with their heads down and be really sad to be in here, but you can't help but look up.
Those 13 geometric shapes surround a painting of aspen trees that stretch up into a blue sky. It has kind of a spiritual effect. As more shootings have happened, places like Sandy Hook have sought the advice of Columbine's principal, Frank DeAngelis.
When I went to Sandy Hook and I met with the teachers, we have that instant bond, and what I refer to as we're in this club that no one wants to be a member. And when I told them, guys, it's a marathon and not a sprint, and I can assure you, as I'm standing here, that we're stronger now. Was it an easy road? No. But there is hope, and that's what they wanted to hear, because here we are approaching 14 years, and, you know, Columbine's doing all right.
After visiting Columbine, I got some dinner and I went to see a movie at the Aurora Century Theater. That's where a gunman opened fire during a midnight screening of The Dark Knight Rises last summer.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, is it extra for the Oz, the XD Oz?
Yeah, it's 10.
The theater chain Cinemark went in the opposite direction of Columbine. The company didn't consult with the families. There's no memorial, there's no plaque. Cinemark did renovate the theater, but it looks like every other multiplex in America.
There's $10, and it's going to be an XD straight ahead.
Thanks.
That's the thing about these buildings. They were all so normal to begin with. And each community has to find its own way back to normal. For Studio 360, I'm Eric Molinsky.
You can see some images of the redesigned Columbine High School at studio360.org.